proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio program. We continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount and the Lord's Prayer. After teaching his disciples to ask God for forgiveness, Jesus Christ then asked them to pray to God, quote, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," unquote. Now this request might seem unusual. Why would believers need to ask a wise God not to lead them into temptation lest they sin? Why should Christians need to ask a benevolent God to deliver them from evil? Aren't these things that God would do anyway? In this context, the word used to translate temptation did not necessarily allude to an opportunity to practice wickedness. Parasmos, the Greek word used here to mean temptation. Parasmos could also indicate the imposition of a trial, sometimes taking the forms of adversity or affliction. But a trial designed by God to strengthen a believer's faith in God. The context of a passage will determine how to understand what an author meant by this noun parasmos. In the fourth chapter of Luke, for example, parasmos clearly described those attempts the devil made in the wilderness to get Jesus Christ to transgress the will of his Father. However, the same word parasmos appeared in Galatians chapter 4 regarding what Paul called the, quote, temptation which was in my flesh, unquote. This parasmos pointed to a disorder which Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 labeled a thorn in the flesh. Perhaps Paul used this word parasmos, or temptation, as a synonym for distraction, something that would lead him not to sin but might swerve him from his course. The Lord utilized the term parasmos on several occasions in connection with divine testing. According to Mark chapter 14, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ told his adherents to watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The temptation to which he alluded might have denoted the disciples' inclination to abandon their master, which actually occurred some moments afterward. The Savior also instructed his disciples to pray that God might deliver us from the evil. Some commentators contend that the term evil alluded to the evil one, that is to say, Satan. However, in the Greek language of the New Testament, the word for evil lacks a definite article, making it more likely that Jesus Christ did not use that term to personify the devil. According to 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lieth in wickedness. In other words, evil permeates all facets of our daily lives. Christians must, of course, come into contact with evil all around them. Yet believers need not allow themselves to become contaminated by such contagion. In John chapter 17, Jesus Christ prayed that God would, quote, not take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. In other words, the Savior asked God to protect his people from the moral corruption that surrounded them, not remove them from that moral corruption by taking them out of the world. The Savior also noted that his disciples were, quote, not of the world, even as I am not of the world, unquote. A fish might swim in water, yet not become part of that water. In a similar fashion, Christians can live in a wicked world without allowing that prevalent evil to infect them. They can enjoy that same assurance that the author of Psalm 121 did, when he assured his readers that, quote, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil," unquote. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.